Paul Hosford. Tomorrow the Taoiseach is going to visit Wexford Hospital following the fire that led to the evacuation of all but 30 patients last night. We'll get to you in a moment just on what the latest on this is, but earlier Wexford TD Brendan Howland praised the action of emergency services along with a number of other speakers at leaders' questions, but he called on the Taoiseach to make sure that the people of Wexford wouldn't be left without emergency care.
The focus now moves to dealing with the consequences of this terrible fire. 221 patients were in Wexford Hospital yesterday evening. 180 plus have now been dislodged to hospitals from Waterford to Navan. And the challenge now is how are we going to continue with their care plans in a seamless and uninterrupted way, ensuring their medical charts are available and that their families are kept fully informed of their medical progress.
Paul Hosford, after the relief for the patients, there has been some concern about the future of the hospital.
Yeah, and I suppose that's one of the things that we see with our health system all the time. When one thing goes down, it can tend to have a knock-on effect. Brendan Howland said there, you've 180 patients that are gone between Waterford and Navan. They're gone all across the country. And the question now is, how quickly can Wexford Hospital get back up and running, but also whether or not it can, what state it's in, or whether or not it might be easier to fully renovate or you know, even demolish parts of it and rebuild. And that's a big question for the people of Wexford, because it's a very, very busy hospital, but it's also not particularly close to many other facilities. So I was looking at the RTE news this evening. They went up onto the main street in Wexford town and were chatting to people, and everyone they spoke to seemed to have an appointment or somebody who was there and just kind of needed to be up and running. You know, the talk now, thankfully, is that it could be a couple of weeks, which would be best case scenario. Maternity services return tomorrow, outpatients on Monday. But I suppose that question is, you know, as the experts go in over the weekend, the engineers, and kind of see how quickly can it be done, and hopefully it'll be, you know, weeks rather than months.
Paul Donnelly, your party colleague David Cullinan was praising how Waterford Hospital was being run. But one of the reasons Waterford Hospital is so well done, everything is put on an emergency footing when they need to clear accident and emergency, and electives are put on hold, outpatient services are affected. So if there's a spillover from Wexford into Waterford, the knock-on effect on other hospitals is a concern, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think, look, again, to commend the emergency services, I think you saw a response was absolutely phenomenal last night. Over 100 fire services and ambulance services, they came from everywhere to support each other. I think that again shows the spirit of the people to come together when something like this happens. But it does also show the difficulties when we're operating at such tight numbers. When you've got hospitals that are 80, 90, 95% capacity, and something like this happens when a hospital has been taken out of commission, now you see a major, major problem. And I think one of the things we do need to see, and I agree with Deputy Helen in relation to this, is what supports we put in for those people who are in hospitals, you know, miles and miles away from their homes. What supports we put into the families to enable them to go and visit them, making sure that communication is in
place. To mitigate the transport costs.
Absolutely, to put in supports. And, you know, again, it could be supports given through the community welfare officers for people to go down and say, you know, patients in Drogheda or in Navan or wherever it is, and enable them to go and visit people. They're the types of things that we need to see in the very short term. In the long term, we do need to see upgrades of many of our hospitals. And I think one of the issues that we need to look at is around fire safety and making sure that all of the fire safety measures are in place. Or maybe this is a good time to just reflect on some of those hospitals that need upgrades, right, and let's get them
Shane
done.
Shane Castles, one of the hospitals people have been moved to is Navan, a hospital that has had trouble accommodating people. Is there a certain irony for you that patients are coming from as far away as Waterford and being accommodated in Navan, the future of which is in doubt?
Yeah, I want to thank Brendan Howland for mentioning Navan today in the Dáil in his statement, because I hope the HSC were listening and maybe were then appreciating the facility that they have in Navan and their absolutely crazy campaign that they have to try and downgrade that service. And I know in all my time in politics, I've been a proud member of that hospital campaign and standing against the HSE's relentless drive against it, which is misguided, which doesn't. And these incidents just show the need for a regional balance. This kind of absolute craziness in terms of centralising everything when it comes to hospital services is pure nuts.
And it's more so in cancer services.
And more so when you confront HSE bosses and you ask them, are they aware of the future planning regs for this country in terms of where people are going to live? And they sit at you with blank faces. Like, you've asked them about some kind of mad conundrum, because they don't, they think in silos. And it's hugely important when you see the importance of having hospitals in Wexford, in Waterford and in Navan, that you have the services to actually support the regions, which are growing. My own county has over 200,000 people now. And we go down to all of these points in terms of transport links, access links, and there is a human cost to this as well. I saw on the 9 o'clock news tonight a mum, Sandra Allen, whose son Jack has been in Wexford for the last 6 weeks. He's been transferred now to St Vincent's. They live in Rosslare Harbour, and that's a very significant human cost now for him and his mum.
Pauline O'Reilly, what should be learned from what's happened in Wexford Hospital, or sorry, what action should be taken in terms of securing the safety of other hospitals? Is it time for a fire audit in other hospitals?
Look, I think we need to understand what's happened, and as yet we don't fully understand what's happened. And I know there, you know, there are technical reports that are due in the next couple of days. So let's see what that says. Certainly, I think we all have hospital services around our own constituencies that we want upgraded, and I know Wexford itself was hopeful of a almost 100 bed extension. So I think that that certainly,
it's a good fortune they've been waiting there for the last 8 years for that
exactly.
90 bed.
So those are the things that do need to be prioritised. But I think we need to think about the fact that families are worried. Of course they are, and they're watching what happened. Now, a lot have been discharged because they were in there for short periods anyway, a lot of the patients, but there are still about 90 who weren't and had to be moved, and, 27, I think, still being cared for in the hospital. So there isn't an immediate issue there for those families to make sure that people get the answers for that hospital. But also, I would hope that the Minister for Health will look at now expediting some of the infrastructural things that he has committed to. In Galway, he's committed to it as well. And I think that we absolutely can't have a centralised approach, just to go back to the centralised approach. I mean, that's not what Sláinte Care is either. We do need regional services, and Wexford is very much part of that, but as are a lot of hospitals across the country.
Right, but the notion, Shane Castle, is that the fire safety in hospitals should be checked. Once they do identify the issue, I mean, if there's common procurement for hospitals and common systems of wiring, people would notice the similarity between many hospital buildings across the country. Is it worth looking into that and seeing if this is a more widespread issue?
Yeah, of course, and in terms of any public building and making sure that those responsible for the management of it absolutely would. But just to go back on that point of regionalisation, we saw in the winter crisis where the folly of what was happening in Limerick required Ennis to be acting as a support mechanism, where the HSE had acted against that, and the folly in Navan where Drogheda was left with 12 ambulances backing up and they had to come back to Navan. So we've seen the folly in terms of, because sometimes people think that just because public representatives are not doctors and don't have medical expertise, what we do have expertise in is actually planning our communities and making sure that we have the services that are spread equally to make sure that they are consummate with where the population growth is going.
All right. Actually, before we leave what happened on the floor of the Dáil, Paul, yesterday Hildegard Nocton was calling for Sinn Féin to make statements to the Dáil Éireann on their finances. It's kind of unusual to have government holding opposition to account as opposed to opposition holding government to account. What was the thinking there?
Well, I suppose the thinking was a chance to make a political point about Sinn Féin and its finances. It was a letter that she sent to the Ciarán Cóirlí yesterday asking for, she was offering government time to Sinn Féin to answer questions about their finances, which was very, very unusual. It's not often that the government gives up its own time to hold the opposition to account. It went to the business committee today. The impression that I got from speaking to people who were on that committee was that the Ciarán Cóirlí kind of made the point to Hildegard Nocton that the government is responsible for a lot of the time that's allocated in the Dáil, and if it wants to have a debate on party financing, it can do so. Padraig McLaughlin, the Sinn Féin whip, said to me, if Fine Gael want to have a debate about party finances, we'll have a full and frank debate, but you know, we won't be hiding from the issue. It was a kind of a strange move, but it's very much a political thing. It's been opened up by the Pascal Donoghue controversy. There's been a number of questions about Sinn Féin's bills or being paid or otherwise in the 2016 election campaign, their SIPO returns from then, and there's been kind of a drip feed. Then there is a SIPO complaint there from a Fine Gael activist about Sinn Féin's finances on both sides of the border. So it's become a kind of a messy political fight more than anything else.
Right. If the government offered time, Paul Donnelly, would you take them up on it and reverse roles and take questions? I mean, you aspire to be a party of government. Well, maybe sitting in the hot seat and taking questions on these issues.
That's certainly not my call as to whether we take that up. But look, at the end of the day, this just political gamesmanship. There's absolutely...
Is it not a matter of public interest?
Well, there's no investigation in Sinn Féin by SIPO. So let's get that one clear. The accusations being made that there is false. And Taoiseach is wrong in that opinion. So, you know, if the government wish to offer their time, that's their business.
Right. Shane Castles, would it be a good use of government time?
So look, at what's good for the goose is good for the gander. And I suppose political gamesmanship only appears to work one way. But so I suppose we could have a two-way one and actually talk about everyone's finances and what bills were paid and what posters were paid and where they were paid and what checks were issued. And we'll put it all on the table. We'll get the accountants in, pay them a few more bob and see what happens.
But the government has a legislative agenda. By the end of this Dáil term, it's going to ram through more legislation, which has been called out by the Irish Council for Civil Liberties, the European Council for Civil Liberties.
There's nothing rammed through. Well, I think that's actually amazing, because when we go and at the end of the year and we look at this, we show the amount of time that ends up with pre-leg scrutiny in committees and goes on forever and ever, and then we have fellas coming in going, yous are ramming things too. It's actually crazy. It's amazing. And then we have fellas saying, oh, there's not enough things happening. It's amazing. It only seems to work one way.
All right, Pauline O'Reilly, good use of government time maybe. Do you have any questions?
I do have questions, and what I'd really be happy to see is Sinn Féin answer questions about their climate, our non-existent climate policy, if we're going to be putting things on the table, because I think that it is fair enough that people ask questions of opposition, particularly opposition who wants to be in government. And I think there are serious questions to be answered. Sinn Féin has no climate policy and is looking for a youth vote and is not being honest, essentially, about the fact that it is, presenting...
There's plenty of opportunities in the Dáil to do that.
Is present.
Plenty of opportunities.
There isn't actually any opportunities.
We'll come back to you on this, Paul.
This is exactly the point. I don't think enough questions are asked of some of our opposition parties, because it is quite easy to be in opposition and to point fingers at other people. And I'm not going to go into Fine Gael and Sinn Féin. They can do their own tit for tat, but there are serious questions to be answered from a party that talks from both sides of its mouth when it comes to the biggest crisis that there is, and that is climate.
We give you an opportunity to answer that, Paul, and even though I suppose climate's not in your portfolio.
But look, at the same time, Sinn Féin have, and Lynn Boylan has been to the forefront for Sinn Féin in around the issues around climate and biodiversity. So there are plenty of opportunities for the government to come back. There's plenty of questions that are constantly asked about it. So, you know, I think there are opportunities there.
I'll just come in briefly to say one politician doesn't make a party, and the reality is you've tried to put through bills that would have...
Everyone has a spokesperson.
You've tried to put through bills that would have ended all onshore development of wind, and that's what we're relying on for our future.
All right, well, look, we'll do climate another night. In fairness, it wasn't on the agenda before we came on here this evening. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with AIB and loan write-downs after this.
The Late Debate with Cullum O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.